Shine after our winter. We clears, we're wimps when it comes to snow and cold, but we like the warmth and the sunshine. Amen. Well, I don't know if you all know this, but I am now a grandmother. I have been a grandmother now for almost 18 months. And so, you know, that kind of changes your perspective, your heart a little bit. And I mean, I think kids are cute and great and fun and all that, but you know, hey, when you're a grandmother, the game changes, right? All you grandmas know what I'm talking about. And so I have some kid quotes I want to share with you this morning that just kind of, I don't know, tickled my funny bone in a way. And so here we go. And these are true. These are actual kid quotes, okay? Cute little critters, aren't they? All right. So this is a mom. I had been teaching my 3-year-old daughter the Lord's Prayer for several evenings at bedtime. She would repeat after me the lines from the prayer. Finally, she decided to go solo. I listened with pride as she carefully enunciated each word. I remember doing that. Right up to the end of the prayer, she said, "Lead us not into temptation, she prayed, "but deliver us from email." Amen. We can all say amen to that. And then 3-year-old Reese had been learning the Lord's Prayer in Sunday school. Excited about what he had learned, he wanted to share with his mommy. So he began to recite the prayer. "Our Father, who does art in heaven. Harold is his name." yeah, you gotta love that. And then last but not least, one particular 4-year-old, this is the one I just think's adorable. They're all cute, but one particular 4-year-old prayed, "And forgive us our trash baskets, as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." Man, out of the mouths of babes and infants comes the truth, right? So off that note, we've been in a very good, powerful series on the Lord's Prayer, which really I think is the disciples' prayer. It's where Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. So if you have not been here for those teachings, I encourage you to go to our website and you can watch them. They are powerful. My favorite, it's hard to pick a favorite, but my favorite was on the kingdom of God. And so, but I just encourage you to go to our website. And even if you heard it, you know, maybe hearing it again would be really good. But the prayer of Jesus, the disciples noticed something different about Jesus. How many of you know the disciples had been going around praying and delivering people and healing? Okay, they had been doing that. But there was something about Jesus that they noticed different. And you know, I could just see them. They're all getting together like, wow, hey, John, have you noticed? Peter said, "John, have you noticed how different, you know, it is when Jesus prays? I mean, like, he's not like anybody I've ever experienced. He's not like the Pharisees. He's not like anybody. He is so different. Hey, dude, what do you think? Should we ask him to teach us how to pray?" And I think they're like, yeah, let's do that. And so Jesus, come and teach us how to pray. And I think it's so profound. I think it's so profound that they hung out with Jesus all the time. And I think it's so profound that they saw the difference. And when Jesus went to teach them, he started with "Our Father." Because to Jesus, this whole entire thing is relational. Completely relational. And so if we have the prayer, I want us to pray the prayer that Jesus, the model, by the way, the model that he used with the disciples. How many of you know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you're here today and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that was just the beginning. Now you're on a journey for the rest of your life to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, so let's say this together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Got to make sure I pay attention to the time. So I believe, and may I suggest to you, that this is a model of prayer for a powerful and blessed life. It's a model for a powerful and blessed life. How many of you here today would like to have a powerful and blessed life? Can I see your hand? So this is something that applies to you. This is something that applies to me. And I guarantee you, if you take these teachings that you have been hearing, and in particular this one today, because I'm preaching it, right? If you take what I have to tell you today, you will be an overcomer. You will have victory in areas that you have not seen victory in your life. I guarantee it. But you're going to have to not just be a hearer of the word. You will need to be a doer of the word. So just a recap on what we have been learning. Again, this is a daily prayer. I believe this is a daily prayer. And it starts with, Jesus started with our Father. Our Father. You know, until Jesus came on the scene, people didn't really relate to God as Father. He was God, he was Lord, he was many things, but they did not relate to him as Father. And Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father. He came to reveal the Father, and he related to the Father like none other, which showed in his lifestyle, which showed in his character, which showed in the glory that came from him. Amen? And so the first thing he's teaching them is, guys, this is a relationship. He's your Father. And if he's your Father, then who are you? You are a child of God. This was a revelation that I believe he wanted to get across to them, that you are a child, he is your Father, and there's nothing that he will not do for you. But it's a relationship. Amen? And then hallowed be your name, reverence, adoration, worship. Okay, we are to relate to the Father, to God as our Father, but then we're also to revere him, to fear him, which is to revere him, to honor him, to, like, he's awesome, right? Okay, and then your kingdom come, your will be done. This is a surrender and intercession for his will, his good and perfect will, to be done, what? Through us. God works through the prayers of his people. He works through the lifestyle of his people. And so we're praying, your kingdom come. It's an intercession maybe for your family, for the world, for your friends, but it's a complete surrender. Like, God, I don't know what the heck, but you do. So your kingdom come, your will be done. And it's also a reminder for us to be about the Father's business. As David said, Father and sons, or father and children's. It's a family business. Amen? And then give us this day our daily bread, asking and trusting God for our provision, not trusting in our good laurels, not trusting in our abilities, not trusting certainly in our money, but trusting in God's provision. Okay? And then as I've been listening to David's message, I thought, wow, I do this prayer and I don't even realize it. Every morning. Every morning I have a wonderful time in my secret place, in my chair, in the corner of my living room. It's dark, it's early, and it's just me and the Holy Spirit, me and the Lord, me and the Father. And I always start with, good morning, Father. It's always just personal. I don't even call it prayer, but it is prayer, because prayer is just talking to God. And I'm like, good morning, Father. Oh, thank you for loving me. You are amazing. I just worship you. And I have worship music going a lot of the times. I worship you and I praise you. You are so amazing. Thank you, God. That's worship, right? And Lord, I just pray that your kingdom would come in my life. Lord, I surrender my heart to you today. I give you my life today. Every day is a surrender for me. And it's like, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And Father, I know that you love me. Again, relation. Father, I know you love me. I know you're good. I'm magnifying who he is in my life. Use me today, Lord. May I be about your business today. And Lord, I trust that you're going to meet my every need. I trust that as I am about your business, you're going to take care of my business. And sometimes I might have a specific request, but I can't honestly tell you that I request things every day. But there are times I do, and usually it's during the day, and I'll just say, boy, Lord, it sure would be nice to have that. It's not even you know, in my quiet, boy, Lord, that sure would be nice, but I don't make it like this passion of mine to get that. I just, wow, that would be nice. And you know what usually happens, and people that know me know this happens all the time? Lo and behold, it comes. I'm like, wow, cool, thanks, God. Yeah, I guess I did, but you are so good. See how this works? This is a daily, relational, personal prayer. And I believe that's what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples, not to be religious, but to be relational. Amen? So today is part 5 of the prayer, and it is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're calling this the pardon of prayer, the pardon of prayer. So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In Luke 11, Luke was a doctor, and he was, you know, doctors get right to the point. And Luke is very direct. And Luke says, forgive us our sins. He doesn't even say debt. He goes right to the gut. He says, sins, forgive us our sins. So forgive us our debts. So our debts are our sins. It's where we've sinned. It's where people have sinned against us. And any time that happens, there's a debt. There's a debt. And so debt in the Greek here means a loan that is justly due, but you can never repay. Let me say that. Debt in this passage means a loan that is justly due, but you can never repay. In other words, bankruptcy. It's something you need to be forgiven of. You can't pay it even if you tried. How many of you ever felt like you could pay the debt of your sin? We can't. We need to be released from it. We need to be released from it. It's a debt that we must be what? Pardoned from. But somebody has to pay the price. Okay, especially when it came to sin. Jamie Reed, where are you, Jamie? Oh, there you are. So Jamie Reed, once upon a time, had a huge debt. And she was learning, she started coming here, she started, you know, getting just healed and set free, delivered. She started learning biblical principles, she started tithing, she started living kingdom way, okay? She had a debt to the IRS of $180,000. How many of you know when you owe a debt to the IRS, it's like owing the mafia? Literally, you can never repay it, and they never just write it off. However, we serve a God that takes care of us, especially when we do things his way. And she shared this as a testimony a while back, so that's why I can share this. That $180,000 was what? Pardoned. The IRS, because of the favor of the Lord, because of her father, because of all these things, they literally wiped out her $180,000. That's what it is to be pardoned. It's to have it wiped away. You couldn't have paid it. She couldn't have paid it. I couldn't have paid it. It got pardoned. Amen? Sin is a debt we cannot pay back. We have to be pardoned. We have to be pardoned. And we need to be forgiven. And this includes forgiving ourselves. Amen? I do a lot of ministry, and I have found in the last years that people have a real hard time forgiving themselves. It's a real issue. So if you have a hard time forgiving yourself today, pay attention. When we forgive ourselves, we are simply agreeing with God and fully receiving His forgiveness. Fully receiving His forgiveness. Was what Jesus did on the cross complete enough or not? It was. Jesus took upon Himself our sins. The sins of the world, they just don't know it yet. But we as believers have come into that and we just say, thank you, Jesus. Now there's a way to appropriate that, and that's what we're going to talk about. But if you think you need to earn God's forgiveness, you are missing the mark. You can never earn His forgiveness. You can't beat yourself up enough. You can't walk on glass enough. You can't. How's that for just, you can't. And if you think you need to earn God's forgiveness, chances are, subconsciously or maybe consciously, you think others have to earn your forgiveness, and you find it hard to forgive. You like that one? Let me say that again. If you think you need to earn God's forgiveness, you will make others earn yours. But that's not the way it works. No way. So let's talk about a few misconceptions, because anytime you go to talk about forgiveness and repentance, people go, what? It's like a short circuit, right? Especially for repentance. Let me just say, repentance is not a bad word. It is not an ugly word. It's a powerful word. But we're not talking about repentance today directly. So forgiveness is not, everybody say forgiveness is not. Saying what the person did was okay. Well, you don't have to repeat that, but it's good. All right, you're here with me. It's not saying what the person did was okay. I was abused. I was beat. I was abandoned. I'm not saying what they did was okay. It wasn't okay. All right? And forgiveness is not condoning evil. It's not condoning what they did. It's not condoning the evil in the world. It is actually releasing us from it. Amen? So let's talk that, and there's more about what forgiveness is not, but those are the two biggies, okay? And then forgiveness is, everybody say forgiveness is. Okay, now you don't have to repeat me after this. Forgiveness is power. It's not weakness. Forgiveness is power. Okay? Forgiveness cancels Satan's legal right to you and in your life. Forgiveness destroys the work of the devil in our life. It sets us free from the bondage and torment, bitterness and Satan's strings. You know, when you're in bitterness, when you're in unforgiveness, you open the door wide open to the enemy to come into your life, and he torments you with what the person's done, and he replays it, and he replays it, and you get more angry and more resentful, and you want to retaliate, and pretty soon you find yourself hating that person, and da-da-da. You know, that's all Satan and the work of the devil in your life. And we don't want that. So when we choose to forgive, we are actually setting ourselves free. Okay? And it opens the door. Oh, here we close the door on the enemy, and then we're opening the door to what? Healing in our heart, in our body, and in our relationships. How many of you want healing in your body, healing in your mind, healing in your heart, and healing in your relationships? Hallelujah. Good stuff comes from forgiveness. Woo! And then forgiveness is trusting that God knows best. Remember the show? Maybe a lot of you don't. I never even saw it, but I heard about it. Father knows best. If you could just remember that God is our Father, you are a child, and Father knows best. And I just need to do what Daddy says. Daddy says forgive. So trusting that God knows best. And then this is a big one. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. If you are waiting to feel like forgiving, you never will. It is not a feeling. Do not let your feelings lead you. You take control of your feelings. You tell them what you're going to do. You soul, why are you so cast down? Worship the Lord. You know, I mean, we got to take control of our soul. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. So, you know, yeah, that's all I'll say about that. I could say a lot, but I won't. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is appropriating, everybody say appropriating, what Jesus died for us to have, which is forgiveness, repentance, victorious life, a powerful life, and so much more. Amen? Appropriating. There's things that Jesus has done for us. The cross was complete. It was sozo. It was complete. But it doesn't just happen. There's things we have to do to appropriate what Jesus died for us to have. Does that make sense? Okay. So we need to understand that Satan fights forgiveness. You are in a war, folks. You are in a spiritual battle. Whether you want to be or not, whether you believe it or not, you are. It just is, okay? And so you need to understand you have an enemy, and Satan fights forgiveness because he knows when we forgive, when we confess of our sins, when we repent of our sins, that we are set free from his bondage, that we are set free from him. And he fights it tooth and nail, and that's why a lot of you have so much problem with forgiveness and repentance. Bitterness and unforgiveness is the number one reason for Christian bondage. If it's the number one reason for Christian bondage, then we should want to learn how to forgive. Amen? All right. It's also the number one reason people leave church. The enemy comes to bring division. The enemy is the destroyer. He is the deceiver, and he wants to divide the body of church, or of church, of Christ, which is the church, right? And so he uses it to get people to leave. Yeah. So, number one point, Jesus is calling us to a lifestyle, everybody say lifestyle, of forgiveness. He's calling us. He's beckoning us. He's saying, follow me. How many of you know Jesus was very forgiving? And if you're going to follow Jesus, we're going to need to learn to forgive because that's what Jesus did and that's what Jesus does. Amen? So Jesus is calling his disciples, his brothers and sisters, his body, however you want to, you know, he's calling us to that lifestyle. We are commanded to forgive in Hebrews 12:15. See to it. That's a personal responsibility. See to it. See to it, Bobby Clear, that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. He's talking to us personally, saying, hey, it's your personal responsibility. See to it that no bitter root takes root in your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Personal responsibility. What happens when you plant a root? Literally, I'm asking you, what happens? It grows. So when we take the offense, when we allow bitterness to come in, and sometimes we don't see it, but that's why we have this daily prayer. We go before the Lord, and I didn't say it, but a lot of times, Lord, show me my heart. Oh, Lord, what was yesterday like? Because I don't even know sometimes. And he'll show me, and I'll have to forgive, or I'll have to repent, or sometimes there's nothing. Hallelujah. But it's my responsibility to allow him to show me the bitterness I've picked up. If I have not guarded my heart, if I have allowed offense, you know, offense is going to come, folks. But we don't have to let it penetrate. That's our job. That's see to it, that no bitter root. That's our job. To become unoffendable. And so if we don't deal with that bitter root, if a bitter root does get in, if offense gets in, if we don't deal with it, it grows and it festers and it becomes a real problem to the point where sometimes we just don't become the person Christ wanted us to become because we're so bound up in bitterness. We are bound, we are in prison, we are captured. And then we wonder why things aren't going well. We're wondering why life is so hard. We're wondering. And yet, it's because we have a bitter root. Amen? Bitterness leads to deception. All the time, all day long, bitterness leads to deception. And this is the enemy's plan. Remember, you have an enemy, and he doesn't play nice. He doesn't play nice. Get rid of all, everybody say all. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with everybody say every, form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as, everybody say just as, in Christ God forgave you. We are to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Remember the day that you first came to Christ and you were heavy burdened, heavy laden with all your sin, all your self. Remember that junk that you came in with? And then you heard a message of salvation and that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he took upon himself your junk in exchange. If you would just accept him as your Lord and Savior, he would give you his righteousness. Do you remember that day? What a glorious day it was. And we didn't have to do anything but accept and believe and receive and confess. How beautiful that day was. How easy it was. So too are we to forgive as Christ forgave us, because he paid the price. Amen? When I came to the Lord, I was a mess. My background, a lot of you know, I was abused, I was abandoned, I was put in foster homes, I was tossed to and fro. My mom was a manic depressant schizophrenic with extreme personality disorder. I ate out of garbage cans because some of the foster homes didn't feed me enough. I know what it's like to live on the street. I know what it's like to have to fight. I know what it's like to be alone and scared, and yet you can't show anybody your fear because you show fear, and that is weakness. I know what it's like. I know what a lot of things are like. And I was a very guarded, angry, but I was a nice girl. I mean, internally, I was very guarded, very protected, and I didn't like people. I didn't like any of you. I actually hated people, but I didn't know what to do about it because people were not trustworthy. They were no good. There was always an angle. Always an angle. Anyway. And I would, you know, the moment I would trust somebody, I'd get drop kicked. And so I learned very quickly, you don't trust nobody for nothing. It's just me, myself, and I. And then what happened? I let myself down. Go figure. I chose sins, and I was a real good sinner. So when I came to the Lord, I was full of bitterness and anger and resentment. You did not want to make me mad. No. Do not make me mad, because I will hurt you. If I won't hurt you physically, which I didn't hurt people physically, but I had a very sharp tongue, and I could lay you out flat with my tongue. But I used to fight, too. Like, I would take you on if I had to. It's true. Not proud of it, not glorifying it, but I'm just saying. And so, you know, the world says get mad, get even. And I adopted that. And if you hurt me, I wouldn't hurt you. I would just, you were dead to me. You were just dead. And so when I came, I started learning these biblical principles, many biblical principles, and I learned about forgiveness. And I was like, what? Excuse me, explain that? I remember being in Pastor Claire's office. I'm like, this does not compute. But you know, I wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to do it right. My life was a mess. Anyway, I started forgiving. Okay. And then it came to the point one day where I had to choose to forgive the foster parents that abused me, that didn't feed me, that all these things. And I had a list. I had a record of wrongs. And man, I could forgive other people. But these people did not deserve my forgiveness. And I remember the struggle because I was bound by Satan. That's what it does. I was bound by Satan, and he was not going to let that go because that was the strings that he could play me by. And I remember pounding on the floor. They don't deserve my forgiveness. They don't deserve my forgiveness. And I'm crying, and Pastor Clear was just, And I don't deserve. And then he says, I understand. He says, but Bobby, you didn't deserve Christ's forgiveness either, but he forgave you. And I mean to tell you, that's not what I wanted to hear. How many of you know the truth hurts sometimes, but it's for our good? And I made a choice that day, as hard as it was, and I eventually was able to scream out, I forgive them. And that was a breakthrough for me. And I have been learning and doing the wielding the sword of forgiveness from that day on. And so it, you know, we are to forgive like Jesus did. Did we deserve forgiveness? Who in the heck ever deserves forgiveness? Well, nobody. But if we are going to be like Christ, we forgive. Amen? Okay, moving on. Oh, maybe not. What do I got here? Okay, Jesus called us. Okay, my story. Okay, Peter. Okay, so this is important. We're not moving on. Same point. Jesus is calling us to forgiveness. So here in Matthew 18, Peter asks Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, I did the math for you, okay? That's 490 times in a single day for a single person for a single sin. Let me say that again. 490 times in a single day for a single person for a single sin. Broke it down even more for you. That means every 1 minute and 50 seconds of every day for the same person for the same sin, we are to forgive. That means Jesus is saying we must forgive all sins all the time, no matter what. Jesus is saying forgive all sins all the time, no matter what. Forgiveness should become as important and automatic as breathing. Let me say that again. Forgiveness should become as automatic as breathing and just as important. Let me say that again. Forgiveness should become as automatic as breathing and just as important. There was a little boy, and his little sister had hurt his feelings and offended him. And he just said, fine, I'm going to hold my breath until you say you're sorry. He started turning red and purple, and he's like just waiting, and then he passes out. Some of you are waiting for that apology, and you're the one that's suffering. Forgiveness should be just as important as breathing. It could save your life. All right. Number two, receiving forgiveness from God requires us to forgive others. Receiving, yeah, what? Forgiveness. receiving forgiveness from God requires us to forgive others. Back to our text. Forgive us our debts as we. Everybody say, as we. Forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debt as we. Forgive our debtors. Matthew 6:14. Jesus continues on forgiveness. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if, everybody say, but if, you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. Come on, church. Get over yourself. If you want to be forgiven, we have got to start forgiving like Christ has commanded us to forgive. If we are not forgiving, we are in direct disobedience to the Father. It is not a good place to be in disobedience to the Father. He is very gracious, he is very loving, but he does expect us to live the way he wants us to. Why? Because Father knows best. Because he knows it's good for us. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. I'm telling you today, forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. We will be forgiven in the manner we forgive others. Now, let me just say, this is not a salvation issue. This is a daily life issue. You are forgiven. You're going to heaven. The Father loves you. Let's settle that right now. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about living the life that Jesus has called us to live, the way the kingdom works, and this is daily forgiveness. Like this, give us our day, this daily bread, daily forgiveness, moment by moment. Remember, every minute and 50 seconds for the same person, for the same thing, if that's what it takes. Losing my breath. Thank you. This is good preaching here. This is going to make you powerful, and this is going to bless your life if you will do it. If you will take heed of what the Holy Spirit is telling you today, sharing with you today. Amen? We will be forgiven in the manner we forgive. Realize when we are in unforgiveness, resentment, etc., we are in sin. We are in judgment. Anytime that we're in unforgiveness, we're in judgment. We don't have the right to judge. There's only one person that sits in that seat. Amen? And it ain't me, and it ain't you. All right? When we are in sin, we open the door to the devil in our life. When we are in sin, we open the door to the devil in our life. It's like opening the door, and you know those flies that hang out by your door? And you open the door, and they just flood in? Satan is just waiting for an opportunity for the open door. Matthew 18 is the parable of the unforgiving servant. The master had compassion. This servant, you guys heard it. The master had compassion. This servant owed like Jamie $180,000. Only he owed a million. Okay? It was an unpayable debt. And yet the master forgave the servant. Because the servant, what? Asked to be forgiven. That's important. I do owe this. So there's confession. Yes, I do owe this. Would you please forgive me? That's part of the equation. And the master forgave the debt. Then what does this guy do? He goes out, he finds a fellow servant, maybe a fellow brother and sister in the Lord. Let's just get real. You've been forgiven. The Father forgave you for whatever you asked for. Then you go and find, you know, you're holding on to that grudge of your brother or sister, your husband, your wife, your child, whatever. And you're just holding that grudge. So in the parable, everybody hears about it. The fellow servants, they're disgusted with their servant. They know what he's been forgiven. And like this fellow servant only owed him like $5 or something. It was not a huge debt. But this servant did not let him go. He was bitter. He was resentful. He's like, you will pay me and you're going to go to jail until you do. Which is really counterproductive if you think about it. And then the master heard about it because of all the grumblings of all the other, like they were in disbelief. Like how could he when he was forgiven such a debt? How can we when we have been forgiven such a debt? I always like to put myself in the story. And what happened? Because of the choices of the servant, the master put him in jail. It's important you get this, because of the choices. The servant had a choice, I believe, even up to the point when the master called him in and says, you didn't forgive the debt. I still don't think that, it doesn't say this, but I still don't think that guy was willing to forgive the fellow servant. He wanted that $5. He deserved it. So he was delivered to the torturers because he chose not to forgive. If you're in unforgiveness, bitterness, you are being tortured. And again, you open that door. And the Father is just saying, I'm sorry, I've told you what to do, but if you're not going to do it, yeah, my hands are tied. And then Jesus says we must forgive from the heart. What is from the heart? The heart is how that situation made you feel. It's not just forgiving a person for what they did, but for what they did made you feel. They hurt me. They abandoned me. They rejected me. They embarrassed me. They made me feel less than. You know, whatever the issue is, that's where you really got to get down to it, folks. We really got to get honest with ourselves. So what are the results of unforgiveness? Our debt in the situation is not forgiven, or it, may I say, it's reinstated. I believe God gives us maybe a little time to forgive because he's gracious that way. But at the end of the day, the kingdom of God works a certain way. And this is a way. We've got to learn to forgive, or we are going to, by default of our choices, end up in bondage. And just, you know, the torturers come in. Satan gains legal right. It's a legal transaction. Our unforgiveness is a legal transaction. And Satan has the legal right to torment us. We are held in bondage to the memories and pain through bitterness. Unforgiveness causes us to lose our peace by replaying a record of wrongs. Are you relating to this at all? So forgiveness, the actual word forgiveness means release. Actually means release. If you do not release others from their debts, God won't, or may I say can't, release you from yours. It's a principle. But Bobby, God is sovereign. God, okay. In God's sovereignty, he set up certain laws and rules and ways of doing things. And he will not cross over what he has set in place. He can't. Do you hear me? The kingdom of God is not a democracy. There's a way it runs. And we have to take the responsibility as what? Believers in Jesus Christ to learn how the kingdom runs and operates. Amen? I think it's warm in here. Is it warm in here? It is really warm in here. All right. So what do I mean by that? If I move to Mexico, I would learn the culture. I would learn the language. You are not of this world anymore. You are of what? The kingdom of God. It is our responsibility to learn the language of God, of heaven, and to learn the laws and the principles of the kingdom. You hear me? As David would say, hear me or you go home. Listen, I know a lot of you don't like what I'm saying, but you know, a lot of people didn't like a lot of what Jesus had to say either. So I'm in really good company up here. All I'm doing is telling you what the Word of God says to why? Set you free. Remember, this is about you having a blessed and powerful life. Blessed and powerful life. There's a way to do that. Just thinking a certain thing that ain't right isn't going to get it done. Does that make sense? Ain't. I don't know why I'm using that word today. So here's the good news. When we forgive, we are no longer a product of our past. We are a product of Christ on the cross. Okay? So point number three, people are not your problem. Everybody say, look to your neighbor, say, you're not my problem. People are not your problem. Misdirected anger. People are not your problem. Misdirected anger is. Misdirected anger is your problem. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen, you're not dealing with that person in your life. You're dealing with the demonic that has influence in their life. And we are all subject to that. Listen, hey, guess what? You're used too. I'm used too if I allow it. If I don't apply these principles that I'm trying to teach you today in my life, I'm going to be used as a puppet just like you. And people get mad at me and I get mad at them, but we got to grow up and see that we are not dealing with people. We're dealing with principalities, powers, and rulers that have influence into their lives. Every bad thing that ever happened to you was planned by Satan and his demonic forces. Everything bad that ever happened to you was planned by Satan and his demonic forces. Know that Satan and demons have planned your pain. And they're very good at it. And he loves for everybody else to get the blame. He doesn't want to be seen. Satan uses others and sets up circumstances to get us offended. Offense is the bait of Satan. Offense is the bait of Satan. The enemy plans to bring division. That's his whole point. Even division within yourself. That's why it's important to forgive yourself as well. The word offense in the Greek means scandalon, which is the actual trigger of a hunter's trap that holds the bait. Let me say that again. Offense in the Greek is the Greek word scandalon, which is the trigger of a hunter's trap that holds the bait. When we take the bait of offense, we trigger the enemy's trap and become captive to his will. Not the will of God, the will of Satan. And yes, you can do that as a Christian. 80% of offense is a misunderstanding or something perceived out of our unwholeness, and we take offense to it. Let me say that again. 80% of offense is a misunderstanding or something perceived out of an unwholeness. Can we admit we don't have it all together here today? Could we just admit that you have some unwholeness, that I have some unwholeness, and just maybe that person that walked down the hall that didn't say hi to you really didn't mean to make you feel the way you felt? We must have intelligent anger and hate. You know, anger's not a sin. Misdirected anger is. God created anger to be used against the devil. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. What does that mean? That means when somebody hurts you, when somebody offends you in a given day, don't go to bed. Just don't give it any more place than you have to. Forgive immediately. And certainly don't go to bed. You know, when you go to bed at night, everything that happened to you that day is stored in your subconscious. And you can wake up and not feel those emotions that you felt when you went to bed. And you think it's all hunky-dory and okay, but really the enemy has gained access into you because you did not forgive. And this is why a lot of you, when something happens, wah! You get all mad and angry, or something just really offends you too easily. That shouldn't offend you at all. Yeah, good preaching, Bobby. Forgiveness releases us from the trap. Forgiveness releases us from the trap. Satan misdirects our anger towards each other, ourselves, and God, because he knows if we ever got a clue that we are to be angry at him. Don't be angry at your kids for sinning. Don't be angry at somebody else for sinning. Get angry at the devil that is manipulating and has control over their life. Start doing that intercession. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my child's life. And I'll take authority over you, devil, in Jesus' name. I command you. I'm coming after you, devil. And I'm loving my daughter. I'm loving my son. I'm loving my husband. I choose love because that's what Jesus would do. And I have power of the Holy Spirit to come against you. And I will be angry at you. Get angry. My mother-in-law got angry at the devil because of what he was doing in her son. And he, there was victory. We got to quit looking at people, look past people, and look to the real enemy. Get angry, get nasty, get mean. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but with principle. Start wrestling with the right person. Amen. Getting angry at another person finds us bowing down to the same demons that caused the situation. leading us into sin and bondage. For anger directed at people gives a foothold to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. This is going to require us to have a change of mind, a change of perspective. What does the Bible call that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind to the way God wants us to do things, to the way the Word tells us to do things, and we start doing them, and we just take God at His word. Lord, Your word says it. I believe it. That says it. You want me to forgive everybody for everything they've ever done specifically? Yes, sir. I'm going to do it. Because why? I'm going to trust You. You're my Father. I'm Your child. And I can't fulfill, you know, the Father's business if I'm all bound up in bondage of bitterness. I can't. You're not going to. I guarantee you. It won't happen. Like I said, Satan uses this tool. There's no mistake that Jesus was teaching the disciples this part in this prayer. It's powerful and it's important. Amen? So it's going to require you to change your mind about the way you've looked at forgiveness, about the way you've looked at the people that have hurt you. I have been hurt. Hey, it just is what it is. But I also know the healer. And I know the way. It's actually putting on your breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, where we attack the enemy with the truth of the Word of God. As David said in one of the messages, we got to get off the love boat and onto the battleship. So there's four key parts, and this is how we do it. This is how we forgive. And before you leave today, I've asked the ushers to hand out. They're hanging out too. I've asked the ushers to hand out this bookmark. I really believe that you guys want to do God's will. I know you do. I have no doubt. I think you've just been duped, maybe. Or you didn't know a few principles, maybe. I don't know. But I do know God has a way of doing things, and we need to start doing it His way. And so this is a helps that one for each family. But basically, we are to forgive people for what they did to us. All people. No exclusions. No exemptions. Forgive specifically. And this might take you some time. By the way, come to Abundant Life. We go into a lot more detail. And you will be encouraged. You will be equipped. You will be set free to live the life God called you to live. But we need to forgive people for what they did, and specifically get in touch with your feelings, how it made you feel. We are so afraid of our feelings. Don't be afraid of your feelings. Deal with your feelings. Confess to the Lord and then release the person. We hold them to a debt. They owe me an apology. They owe me something. And until they do, no. I release their debts and obligations to me, because forgiveness means release. Forgiveness means release. And it doesn't necessarily set them free, but it sets you free. It's like a boomerang. It's a boomerang. And then we ask God, we cancel Satan's power and authority over us, because now we can. Before, Satan had legal right in our life and we were bound. We were in jail legally. But when we forgive and we repent and we release the person, Satan's legal rights are broken. And now, and only now, can I say, Satan, I take power and authority over you, and I command you and your spirit of bitterness in this situation to get, in Jesus' name. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to heal our heart. Because anytime we've been offended, anytime we're in bondage, we are hurt. We're the walking wounded. And the church is full of people that are deceived by false forgiveness. And I don't like it. And if you sense some intensity up here, it's because I don't like the devil. And I don't like what he's been doing to the body of Christ, particularly this body. So in conclusion, forgiveness is God's nature. In Hebrew, God's name is Yahweh Hest. It actually means Lord of forgiveness, or the Lord who forgives. He wants to forgive. I mean, if you read the Old Testament, I just see where he's practically begging them. Would you just die? Well, I want to forgive you. He's like, I so want to forgive you, but there's a way that it works. And they wouldn't. And then, I'm sorry, the hammer had to come down. His nature is to forgive. And our nature as his children, as the new creation in Christ, is also forgiveness. When we operate out of the nature of Christ, out of the nature of the Holy Spirit, that is God himself working through us. When we choose not to forgive, you know whose nature that is? Satan. There's only two choices, folks, and our flesh gives in one way or the other. Forgiveness is God's plan of grace. Forgiveness is God's plan of grace. And when we receive God's grace every day, we also need to give God's grace every day. The life of grace, receiving and giving, receiving and giving. Forgiveness is power. It's not weakness. Forgiveness is power. And forgiveness, yes, has some conditions, which is forgive us our debts as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. Right? Again, bitterness and unforgiveness is the number one reason for Christian bondage. It leads to all kinds of things. One of the points I left out is that bitterness is Satan's wild card. Any of you that play cards, you know the Joker is wild and he can fit in anywhere. Bitterness is the devil's wild card, and he wields it and uses it however he wants. And that's why a lot of people in the body have issues. I don't want that anymore. We are to be powerful. We are to be something the world envies. Amen? Forgiveness is a powerful key to having the life that God died for us to have. And it changes everything. It changes, yeah, Mary Riley. How old are you, Mary? 90 what? 96 years old. She knows how to live the life of forgiveness. Amen? Father, we thank you for the beautiful relationship we have with you today. We thank you that you're our Father and we are your children. I thank you, Lord, that you are so good and so gracious, and you so want to teach us your kingdom ways for kingdom results. Father, I pray for each and every person today, myself included, Lord, that you would help us to live the life of forgiveness that you have called us to live, that we would represent you well in every area of our life. I just bless each and every person in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just ask that you would remind them, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you. I want to release you, but I also want to invite, if you need some ministry, we just invite you to come on up. Ministry team, if you would come up.